The Royal Man Report, presented by Kelly's Westport Inn, with Casey Royal Man, Mike Engel, and fake Ned Yost. Produced by Aaron Gnerk. Outro by Andre and the Giants. And now, the Royal Man Report.
And welcome into the Royal Man Report. I'm Troy Olson, a.k.a. Casey Royal Man, a.k.a. Colin Mayhem, a.k.a. glad to be back in America.
America.
America. I'm joined in studio by Jeff of the Jeff Report, and of course Michael Engel of Michael Engel, and Friggin' Engel.
The Michael Engel.
The Michael Engel. And he's also at right. Michael Engel, at Friggin' Engel. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
I'm fantastic, as always.
I like how both of you started that, like you weren't sure quite how you were. It's like,
Think everybody's been sick this weekend. Fake Ned's not here because he is also sick, both physically and mentally.
I just got over mine from earlier in the week, and Royal Man was telling us earlier about how he's feeling a little under the weather.
Yep. Yes. Big shout out to our friends from the Big Dumb Fun Show. I'm sure Jeff Hurst is going to be good and sick tomorrow after he'll have to disinfect his microphone.
Is that Canadian?
I don't know what that is.
Picked up a little
How
bit of
long were
there?
You there?
Royal Man's got an accent, eh?
I don't know what happened there, but anyways, I am Troy Olson. I'm Casey Royal Man, whatever you want to call me. I win things at Flying Saucer, and I put my real name on the ticket, and they call me Royal Man anyway, so I might as well accept the inevitable that I don't have a real name anymore. More that I am merely characters of my own doing.
We accepted it a long time ago. So
yes, indeed. So hey, I guess we have a show to do.
Yes, we do.
Apparently,
we actually had some great stuff this last week. We had two shows out there for you on Podomatic, or you can also get them, of course, at kingsofkaufman.com. Probably get them through Stitcher if you haven't already. You might have to click back for the old episodes. If all you're getting is the two interviews from last week, you're missing a great show with Joel Goldberg, which I was very sad to miss. But, man, I caught the last 15 minutes of that live, and then, of course, all the way from Canada. So you had two viewers in Toronto last week instead of just one.
Hurrah!
I don't know who this one guy is in Toronto that listens to us, but he must be just a sick baseball fan.
More power to him.
Because he's got to put up with the Blue Jays and the Royals. I mean, wow, that's a rough life.
Yeah.
But anyways, Goldberg did a great job, and kudos to Mike for really locking that down, and great job hosting last week, Mike. Any last thoughts on that show, you guys?
Joel is awesome.
Awesome.
honestly, the whole Frank White stuff happened, and we were fortunate to have someone from Fox Sports Kansas City in. I mean, it just happened that the timing worked out. You know, before the show, we weren't sure what we were going to get on the whole situation because we didn't know if they had put a block on him or anything. He came in, he was like, you know, they didn't tell me that I could or couldn't say anything. So, I mean, I'll do my best to comment on it. And, you know, he gave us that whole second segment just about Frank White and Frank White as a colleague and the situation and all of that. And, you know, other than that, it was a good show. I mean, he's a great guest. It was great to have him in, and we would definitely welcome him back.
Yeah, and I didn't really know what to expect, you know, seeing him on TV doing, you know, he did a lot of the fluff pieces, going inside the Green Monster and going out with the guys that beat the drum in Oakland and stuff like that. But he actually turned out to be quite insightful, and, you know, he's a really knowledgeable guy and just a fantastic guy. Came in, like, you know, just had one time, remembered all our names, not that it's that hard, but, you know, stuff like that kind of makes an impression. And he was just a really great guy, really knowledgeable, very insightful, and definitely look forward to possibly having him on again because he was a great guest.
I was just shocked he was willing to come in studio, take time out of his day to come in and do that.
Yeah.
He filled the seat that I left empty quite well. You taking over as host and then him coming in.
He did pretty good.
he had no problem being in here doing a podcast. It did not make a bit of difference to him. So it was just another day at the office talking baseball, and we really appreciate that. Which leads me to, you were talking about that second segment. He actually produced a quote that got used by Sam Mellinger in Don't Kill the Mellinger. I love his Don't Kill the Mellinger blog. It's one of my favorites. I try to catch it every week. Mm-hmm. He quoted us in it. I actually found out that a guy I work with is friends with Sam and comes up to me and is like, hey, I see your show was in the – because I hadn't told him about my show. He said, I see you have a podcast and it was featured in Mellinger's article. And that was really cool by Sam.
Yeah.
It really was. Really cool.
Which led to Chris, Fake Ned Yost, reaching out to Sam and saying, hey, you want to do a show with us? Well, apparently he was a little busy tonight because I guess there's another team in this town that matters somewhat and they're in Chicago.
I'm not sure who you're talking about, but so, okay, we'll take your word for
it. Apparently he's in Chicago this weekend for some other sport. It's not KU basketball. It's not MU basketball. It's not K-State basketball. So I was really confused because it's not baseball season either. The Chiefs guys just struck me down and took my voice away. You see that? Talk bad about the Chiefs and Pioli rips your throat right out. So,
he's got eyes and ears everywhere.
Right, you know? So obviously the Chiefs in Chicago, Mellinger's there covering it. We're actually going to do a special edition on Wednesday. Listen for that. We're going to work that out of...
Won't be live though, right?
No. Yeah. Maybe. But just watch the Twitter handle. Follow Royal Man Report. You know, follow us on Facebook at Royal Man Report. Follow the boys, the Jeff Report, Michael Engel, myself as Casey Royal Man or Fake Nedjost, and we'll make sure that we're tweeting out that it's going to happen. But he was nice enough to give us Wednesday night, so we're going to take advantage of that. Chris has a little setup in his man cave, and we're going to go down and record off a little special edition with Sam. Don't know how long it's going to be. It might be 10 minutes, might be an hour and a half. So we'll see what happens. That's kind of up in the air. But Sam's going to add a lot of perspective on the upcoming baseball season. We'll probably talk a little football. I'll guarantee you we'll talk a little college basketball because I've got some questions, or college football and college basketball because I've got some questions on that for him. And then we will take it from there with Sam. But check that out on Wednesday. A lot going on this last couple of weeks in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Chiefs aren't very good, so Twitter's rocking with Royals talk, and of course it's college basketball season, but there's still Royals talk on everything you listen to, everything you read. The Royals are right there, but they did not have a big free agent signing coming out of the winter meetings. The biggest thing they did was sign a Rule 5 guy and immediately sell him to the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, and they also traded Yemichael Navarro to Pittsburgh, and in return we got... I mean, what a great trade for baseball names. Yemichael Navarro traded for Brooks Pounders Diego Gorriz. So I couldn't be happier for those.
That's what you
names.
Call an instant Twitter follow right there, Brooks Pounders.
Brooks
and that's,
Pounders.
Just go put that in on Twitter, at Brooks Pounders. And he's actually pretty good. He's pretty active on there, similar to Ryan Verdugo, who we just got. So maybe we can try and get him on the show.
He looks exactly like you would expect him to as well.
Indeed.
He's a big dude. He's like Jonathan Broxton Light. He's about 6'4", 260 or something.
The Cardinals, of course, I work with Bill Ivey
at
Perceptive Software. And Bill is the guy that's behind I-70 Baseball, among other things. And he's a Cardinals fan living in Kansas City. And him and I talk baseball every day, all the time. And we do the show on Monday nights at 9 p.m. on I-70 Baseball. Check it out. It's a Cardinals-Royals radio hour. And him and I were talking about it. And they got a guy whose last name is Shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Shooter and Pounder. I mean, really? In the same day?
There it is.
So if we can't get Brooks Pounders on this show, and it's double plural for his name, that which makes it even better. He's Brooks Pounders, not Brooke Pounder or Brooke Pounders. It's Brooks Pounders, which was another thing that we found great at Kelly's the other night. When I was sitting at Kelly's when this trade happened. Of course I was, right? Because I'm an alcoholic.
That's the dorkiest trade discussion ever, and that's coming from me.
Hey, I can't give out names or who they are, but there are people that work within the Royals that go to Kelly's on a regular basis, and so you get some of these dorky conversations because it happens. But the whole Shooters and Pounders thing, or Shooter and Pounders thing, was just too much for Bill.
Sounds
and I
like
to pass
a up. Cartoon law firm.
I mean, right?
It does.
Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculousness. So that happened. And again, we did make a trade with the Yankees for cash, but not really a big deal. Again, we haven't really done a trade with the Yankees in years. Everybody always says, oh, the Royals, their players will get good, and then they'll just send with the Yankees. There really hasn't even been a Royal to sign a free agent contract with the Yankees in a long time, or the Red Sox, any of those big drawing teams. I mean, of course, the biggest trade we've made any time in that you can think is of course the Greinke deal, which I think everybody feels is a win-win for both teams.
Yeah.
We'll see what the rest of these trades come out to. But yes, we did draft Cesar Cabral in the Rule 5, sold him to the Yankees. No Royals were selected in the Rule 5. A Cardinal fan had the nerve to say, well, that's because, not Bill, but one of his followers had the nerve to say, that's because the Royals aren't very good. But that's okay, St. Louis. We're coming for you.
Yeah. Good luck filling first base.
Lance Berkman.
I heard some other guy that they're going to keep Berkman in the outfield.
It's Lance Berkman. He can't. Okay. He's too old. Yeah,
he can't play the
outfield. To play the outfield
that
anymore.
Doesn't stop Tony La Russa from playing a left fielder at second base. I guess Tony Roos is not there anymore, though, too. So you know.
Right. So they're going to actually have a manager that used to catch, so they'll probably make some decent decisions. But I guess...
You never know.
The thing about Tony is he won a lot of games. He really can't insult La Russa too much because he did win a lot.
Yeah.
A couple of quick hits here. Jeff Bianchi was claimed by the Cubs off waivers.
Yep.
And, of course, David DeJesus signed there as well. So a couple of Royals with the Cubs. But Bianchi, he deserves a shot. and it'll be good to see him get a shot.
Yeah, and he wasn't going to get a shot really with the guys that the Royals have in the middle infield. I mean, if Johnny Giovitella doesn't hit, we have Christian Colon. If he doesn't hit, we have Ray Navarro. If he doesn't hit, then I don't know. But by that time, Bianchi would probably be about 29, 30 years old. And, you know, he's dealt with injuries through pretty much every year of his minor league career. He's had Tommy John surgery and back problems and shoulder problems. He's sticking with it, so I'll give him credit for that, but his shot wasn't going to come with the Royals.
In all the goofiness, I did forget to mention, we'll be joined by Nathaniel Stoltz.
Yep.
Is that right? Nathaniel Stoltz of Seedling to Stars.
Yep.
And he'll be joining us after this break, so definitely stay with us. A lot of minor league talk coming up, and we're also going to talk some other things with him. But really quick hits again here. Looks like Pujols and C.J. Wilson are Angels for the foreseeable future, unless the Angels go broke. And Reyes and Burley are Miami Marlins.
Get used to saying you got that. It.
Yeah, right? I've when been I, practicing for a week.
When I first keyed in the note, I put in Florida. I'll admit it. It's a tough transition.
And remember, they're not Devil Rays kids.
Right.
No.
Yeah. So all of Florida just messing with our baseball minds, changing names down there. But they, you know, it's interesting to see what we're going to get out of these two new power teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think the Angels are going to be better off than the Marlins just because of the division. But, I mean, you never know. Burley's a good player. Reyes is a good player. And, you know, there are some underachievers in the AL or in the NL East. So,
well, we're going to be back on the other side here with Nathaniel Stoltz, but the Cardinals made the right decision letting Pujols get away. Until then, we're going to be right back on the other side. We're going to talk a little bit about Ryan Braun and the PEDs and everything else.
Trimming the tree.
Opening presents.
Plaza lights.
Sitting on Santa's lap.
Christmas morning.
Christmas carolers.
Holiday decorations.
The wonder in a child's eye.
Sleigh bells.
Lighting the candles.
Snow days.
Holiday decorations.
Long lines at Walmart.
Your kids' holiday program.
Snow days.
0 degrees.
Christmas music on the radio just after Halloween.
Shoveling snow.
Snow days.
Scraping frosty windows.
They're out of the dolls she wanted.
Your in-laws are here.
You got me socks.
Black Friday.
Personal property taxes due.
Your in-laws are still here.
Your mother-in-law taped Whitney instead of the bowl game.
Grandpa farted.
Had enough Christmas? Tired of the holidays? Kelly's Westport Inn has every bowl game on this season. There's plenty of cold beers on tap, a private heated roof you can put your mother-in-law in. It's just down the street at 500 Westport Road. Christmas is just a little easier at Kelly's Westport Inn. Merry Christmas and a happy holidays from the Royal Man Report.
Welcome back into the Royal Man Report. I am Troy Olson, a.k.a. Royal Man, or Casey Royal Man, or that weird dude that wears tights. And what's that?
I'm so tired.
I'm not so much tired. My throat's just shot. I guess calling 10 hours of roller derby at the highest level has worn me out, because I don't think I've ever recovered from being in Canada. Not that the person on the phone cares about any of that, but right. we're joined on the phone by Nathaniel Stoltz. How you doing now, Nathaniel?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Now, do you prefer to be called Nathaniel or Nate or Nathan or?
I do go by Nathaniel.
Okay, good. Then I won't shorten your name, because I have a horrible habit of doing that. That was the first thing I had to ask Mike, too, because I don't think I ever call him Michael, unless I'm mocking him on Twitter, which is a whole different story. let's start off with something that actually is a little bit out of your ballpark, but we had it on our sheet and hadn't got to it yet. Ryan Braun tested positive for PEDs. First, guys in the studio, there's a lot of questions out there. He's apparently got more testosterone than any man on the planet right now. And do you take the MVP away?
No.
I don't think you can do that. It's the same deal with in the NFL with Brian Cushing last year, or 2 years ago, or whenever that was.
But you're holding people out of the Hall of Fame for the same thing.
That's not, but it's you're not allowing them into the Hall of Fame. It's just that voters are choosing not to vote for him because of that. So it's not not a restriction.
At the time,
it's
when
just
the,
something that's changed
when
due
they
to
made the
vote.
Voting when they did the votes and tallied them for the MVP. This wasn't out there,
right?
So under that criteria, they can vote.
And I will tell you this. I know somebody within the baseball writers that gets emails from their inner group, and they have opened up a conversation of reopening the vote. So it could happen, but I'm going to guess that most of them are going to say the same thing you guys are.
Yeah, it's unprecedented. I don't see it happening. I mean, it could. I mean, Matt Kemp was deserving enough in the first place to win it, so maybe that'll have a factor. I don't know.
Right. And, I mean, it's because you did almost have a guy hit for almost the Triple Crown and not get it. I mean, it was pretty unprecedented in that aspect. Nathaniel, what are your thoughts on this coming out this week?
Well, I mean, I think that it's obviously we have a lot of information that has kind of yet to be revealed, and it's kind of a cloudy situation. I do think sometimes the outrage over some of the stuff, I feel like, you know, there's already 50-game suspension. You know, we all kind of agreed that that's a pretty significant punishment. So sometimes I wonder if all of this, you know, moral, you know, stance and all of that, you know, calling for stripping awards, it's like, well, we already put pretty stiff penalty in the CBA. So sometimes I wonder if all this other discussion of, oh, should we do this as well, kind of, you know, there's already a penalty for it. It's not like 2004, you know, when people were doing this stuff, putting up these big numbers and getting off with no testing or, you know, no real penalty other than in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. Like, when I first heard the news, I was like, you know, just like any other time where somebody's accused of this stuff, you know, it's disappointing because you don't want to see guys getting caught for this. And then there was word that there might be false positives, and then you have all this other stuff. I think a lot of people rushed right into judgment. You know, ultimately he's appealing it. I don't know if it's going to end up being something that is upheld in any way. So, I mean, nobody's ever had a successful appeal of this testing. So
I was going to bring that up too. I think I saw Jeff Passan earlier on Twitter was talking about how, you know, this the cycle of the whole PEDS use thing is always it comes out, they test positive, they vehemently deny it, and they say they're going to be exonerated, and nobody ever is, you know. So it's like, do we expect this to be any different? You know, who knows? But chances are it's something that probably happened. And it, just because they increased the rules and they made the punishment bigger for people that tested positive doesn't mean that it's going to completely go away.
Yeah. Well, let's get off that. And again, we're talking with Nathaniel Stoltz of A Ceiling to Stars. Great website for all your minor league needs. One that we definitely really like here at the show. The Royals were linked to the A's in talks for both Gio Gonzalez and Trevor Cahill. The only name that ever seems to pop up is Will Myers. First off, Nathaniel, what are your impressions of these rumors, and how likely is it overall that what Dayton is saying is the truth and that Will Myers is not on the table?
Well, I mean, it's—I probably don't have any more information than you guys have, but as far as it goes, you know, obviously there is going to be some tremendous competition. Certainly, the Royals have enough assets to get a deal done for Gio Gonzalez if they really wanted to. You know, between Myers and Chesler Cuthbert and Montgomery and Duffy and all of these guys. You know, the question is, are they going to be able to outbid a team like Toronto or somebody like that that also has a very deep farm system and is linked to Gio Gonzalez? And, you know, how much are the Royals willing to part with when there are 12 other teams lining up to try to get this guy? Certainly, I think that, you know, he'd be an interesting fit there. As an A's fan myself, you know, I certainly would have some interest in acquiring some of these top Royals prospects if I'm Billy Bean. But it all kind of depends on what their offer is versus what all of these other teams that have been linked to Gio Gonzalez are doing.
Yeah, and we obviously don't know what offers are actually being put out there. Cahill, of course, was traded earlier in the week for it was Cahill and Craig Breslow, correct?
And for Craig Breslow for Jared Parker, Colin Cowgill, and Ryan Cook.
Yeah. What did the Royals miss an opportunity going for Cahill? Would something like Mike Montgomery and somebody else worked? You know, in, if that's what the A's are accepting, you know, based on your knowledge of what the A's seem to look for?
Yeah, you know, I think a player like Duffy would actually be of a lot of interest to the A's. If you look at Billy Bean's trading pattern, you know, he always tends to, when he deals one of these kind of young studs on that team, there always seems to be that pitcher who is a pretty good prospect, who has that half season of big league experience that they always kind of get back. So I wouldn't be surprised if he looks for somebody like Duffy or Montgomery, and then, you know, a couple of the lower minors guys as well, you know, maybe Brett Eibner or somebody like that. Obviously, the rumor is that they're asking a lot more on Gio Gonzalez. They turned down, apparently, a deal that, from Philadelphia that was centered around Dominic Brown, who obviously has more kind of prospect status than a lot of these Royals guys, even Myers. So who knows? You know, it's certainly going to be an involved process given how many teams are involved. And obviously we have an entire offseason for that to kind of resolve itself.
Now, last offseason, the Royals and A's ended up agreeing to the David DeJesus trade. So, first of all, thanks for Vin Mazzaro. I think his time is pretty much done in Kansas City as a viable candidate for anything. But the interesting guy in that trade is Justin Marks, who I think he developed a slider last year, had a little bit of success in Wilmington. What do you know from following him within the A's system, and what can Royals fans expect and kind of his timetable? Is he just kind of like a number five starter in a couple of years, or does he have any upside?
I think that's a pretty fair assessment of Justin Marks. He was, I believe, a second-round draft pick of the A's, and, you know, he's a four-pitch left-hander, fastball, you know, will be 87 to 92, big slow curveball, changeup, slider. You know, and that's been enough to rack up some impressive strikeout numbers in the lower minors. Still a bit rough around the edges with his command, but, you know, he's got enough to keep batters off balance that, you know, you could see him as, you know, that number five kind of guy, maybe a long reliever, enough breaking stuff to maybe be a situational left if, you know, he doesn't work out as a starter. But I don't see him as any sort of real high upside guy. He doesn't really have a big out pitch. It's more just about, like, deception and keeping hitters off balance, mm-hmm. which can lead to some good numbers at those lower minors.
A couple weeks ago, we had Kevin Goldstein on our show, and he was talking about the CBA. It hadn't been signed at the time, and he had Jeff Passan on their show, Up and In, and was talking about it as well. And it seems like everybody's kind of getting differing opinions on this. Some people think it's really bad for small markets. Some people think it's really bad for big markets. Passan actually thought it was bad for mid markets, teams like St. Louis. So we're still considered a small market. What do you think the CBA represents for Kansas City and with the salary cap and everything else that went with it?
Well, you know, you get a lot of mixed signals, as you said, you know, and I haven't read through the whole thing. I do think it's more reasonable than some of the really vocal opponents of it. Say, I was listening to you guys, your episode with Goldstein, and I know you're talking about, oh, well, you know, the top team gets like $11.5 million, and that's about what the Royals spent last year. And obviously the last team gets something like $4 million. So, you know, it is pretty reasonable. At the same time, obviously there is that cap, and given the landscape that we've currently seen with the draft, it does seem like it is these small market teams that tend to go way over. In the long run, it will prevent the big teams, if they ever want to exploit that, from going over. But given the current landscape, it's kind of tough. It seems like it was an answer to a problem that wasn't really there.
All right, well, we're going to get ready to go out to break here, so I don't want to ask anything else. We're going to be joined by Nathaniel Stoltz, still here on the other side. We got a small break coming up here, and when we get back, we got a lot to talk about, more to do with the future of small market teams and more like that. And then we're going to talk to him a little bit about what it's like writing over at Seedling of the Stars. Of course, another fan-sided network website, just like Kings of Kaufman.
And
so
Jeff Herr has written for both of us.
Indeed. Yeah, so I'm an alumnus from both.
I was going to say, isn't Jeff Herr kind of a blog whore, though? I mean, doesn't he just blog for everybody?
I've been around the block a few times. Nothing wrong with that.
Anybody that'll take him, he'll go with. So we're going to be right back on the other side, of course, and I'm going to get some more cough syrup and get everybody else back into shape here, and we're going to be right back with Nathaniel from Seedling of Stars, right back on the other side.
Hey, Troy. what are you doing this weekend?
Going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
No, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows, and you drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Libidotosis.
All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl game. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
No, you shut up and listen.
Welcome back into the Royal Man Report. I hope you all really enjoyed that new commercial that Fake Ned and I worked up over the weekend.
Spit Cup is a hit.
Spit Cup apparently very popular in the chat room. Somebody threatening to make the Royal Man Report open up a bar called Spit Cup, where Jeff Herr added, Jeff Herr, I always say your name wrong.
It's Herr.
Will only be played in that bar will be Nickelback and Toby Keith, which is a running joke from a Facebook conversation I had last week. But you know, I think actually the bar that would be most frequented by Michael Engel would have to be Lilac.
What does that mean?
I see you as a little bit of a new agey kind of guy. Actually, yeah. No, I've been out with Mike,
no.
And I could totally see Mike getting down at a bar called Rage.
What? None of these places fit. It's all Kelly's.
It's all Kelly's. And, you know, we of course, are sponsored by Kelly's, but they are friends of ours as well. And Mitch, he's got a great bar down there at Kelly's, and we have a great time down there. And we're down there every Sunday and a lot more than that.
Yeah, they've got a lot of Royals fans and knowledgeable Royals fans.
Like I said, you know, we do a lot of Royals chat down there up on that enclosed patio, you know, throughout all the time, and it's nice. It's not too crowded during the week, and even on the weekends, it's not bad. So.
I used to work at the Joe's Pizza in the back there,
Good stuff. Is
also a fine establishment connected onto Kelly's.
Yes, so. Which if you're going out on a Sunday or Monday, from Sundays until 10, they have $2 pizza slices. On Monday, they have it from the time that the lead up to Monday Night Football starts all the way through the end of the game. They do. But enough of that. Back to talking with Nathaniel here.
Back to baseball.
Back to baseball.
Back to baseball.
Yep. Do you see, so staying on the CBA, what do you see this doing with trading as far as teams like the Royals are concerned going forward?
Well, I think that it certainly will make teams pretty aggressive, you know, if they're in that building or rebuilding phase, which obviously they're kind of past that a little bit now, but obviously if they're ever in a rebuilding phase, then they're going to maybe look to restock the farm system more by trading than necessarily drafting. And at the same time, it certainly gives a team like that, you know, a real incentive to try to go for it now, because you don't know exactly what they're going to be able to do as far as building the team back up under the new CBA. Of course, you know, you can say what you want about Dayton Moore, but I do think that of all the GMs in baseball, there's nobody who I'd rather have to build a good farm system and a good scouting department. So they do have that on their side. And, you know, as a result of that, they maybe have a little bit more latitude to trade some of the guys they already have, because they can anticipate possibly, you know, receiving better returns from their scouting department. Obviously, we'll have to see how it plays out for a couple of years, but as far as the impact on them in the near term, that's kind of the best guess that I have.
One of the consequences kind of that we thought might happen from this new CBA is the potential that high school players with a limited bonus available to them when they're drafted might go to, you know, in the case of the Royals, Bubba Starling may have gone to Nebraska rather than sign for what he felt would be a lower bonus. Or someone like Will Myers would have kept slipping to the point where he would have taken his college commitment because the Royals really couldn't have afforded to give him the $2 million that was, I think, six times greater than the slot bonus at that point. Do you see that as something that's going to be a problem in the long term through the next 5 years, as some of these players maybe choose not to, you know, enter systems and, you know, maybe more college players drafted as a result?
I think that certainly will happen on some level, particularly somebody like Bubba Starling, who is a two-sport guy. You know, obviously the potential for him to make $7 million in his bonus is really obviously completely taken away at this point. So those two sport guys, yes. So of course, part of the reason that people go to college, or the baseball players go to college, I should say, is that they think, okay, well, I can improve my stock as a collegiate. Whereas now that there is the hard slotting, or not the hard slotting, but the cap on total spending, you know, obviously they have to fit in the framework in some way, whether they're a high school player or a college player. So, you know, there's only so much money you can get. So even though the dollar figure is going to be lower now, you know, they may still not have any more leverage necessarily by going to college, because there's only so much more they're going to be able to make. If you have a $2 million offer on the table, you know, that's a heck of a lot to take in this new draft. So, so I think that there will be some effect, a lot of these two-sport guys, maybe some players, but I think that it certainly isn't going to be to the point where every high school player that, you know, the top 200 high school players, I guess, you know, are suddenly jumping ship to college. Yeah.
and Nathaniel, if I remember correctly from how the CBA works, I believe the cap is for just the first 10 rounds of spending. So, I mean, is the ultimate conclusion something as simple as, you know, Will Myers was drafted in the fifth round and given a very large above-slot bonus? Do teams just wait until the 11th round to take him now? Is it something like that simple, or am I just reading – am I oversimplifying that?
That certainly could be a possibility. It's not unheard of in the old draft landscape for a team to take a guy, you know, in the 20th round or the 30th round. You know, I think – Mark Trumbo, if I remember right, was picked in like the 16th round and given like a $1.5 million bonus back in the day. I could be totally wrong, but I think it was something like that, because the Angels wanted him to be a hitter instead of a pitcher or something like that. You know, so you did have examples of that sort of phenomenon even when there wasn't necessarily this hard cap on that. So certainly, you know, that's something to look at to see if that's how teams get around it. Again, you can't really predict exactly what the reaction is going to be, because every year kind of the philosophies change of these organizations. But it could be that's, you know, some kind of market inefficiency that a few teams do try to go that route.
Now, once those guys are into the system, you know, obviously people are going to be talking about them, and that I want to shift into your current project, which is your top 100 on Seedlings to Stars. You're doing top 100 prospects of any baseball team, and today it was number 27. Is that right? Is that
that's right?
Okay, yeah. And so far, you know, for Royals fans listening, we've had six Royals profiled on there, and if you're on Kings of Kauffman right now, all of those are linked along with this podcast, so you can go check those out. Do you have any spoilers as to how many more Royals are going to be in say the top 25? I know of at least one.
Yeah, there's one.
Just one. Okay.
You can probably guess who.
Well, then that's not really a surprise who it's going to be then. What are your general thoughts? You know, some of this trade talk we're talking about, you know, with Will Myers and such. Are some teams overvaluing prospects, you feel, or, you know, because, you know, for somebody like Will Myers, he has a couple of years in the minors, but struggled in Double A and has been surfacing in trade talks for, you know, even guys like James Shields or Gio Gonzalez. who are somewhat established pitchers, especially Shields, but Gio in the past 2 years for sure. Is it a mistake to be banking on what the tools and some of the early minor stats say when he struggled at a level like Double A?
Well, Will Myers, just to speak to his example specifically, you know, he's a guy who had completely finished high A ball at age 19. You know, if you look at the number of players in the minor leagues this year who, you know, could have held their own in a Double A lineup at age 20, you know, there are very few of them. And, you know, a commodity like that is still going to be pretty valuable, particularly to a team like, you know, the A's, who don't have a high-quality major league roster. They don't have a high-quality minor league system. So what do you expect them to do? They have to bank on something because, mm-hmm. obviously, their team isn't in competitive shape right now, and they don't have enough prospects in-house to really put it in competitive shape anytime soon. So there's really not a whole lot of choice there, in my opinion, unless you just simply want to be complacent with turning out 70, 75 win teams. And, you know, I would think that a team would rather just tear it down, win 50 games for 2 years, and then have, you know, then actually have that core in place after that, a lot like what we've seen with the Royals the last couple of years, you know, waiting for these guys to come up.
Well, on the subject of waiting for guys to come up, one of the things that everybody on Twitter likes to talk about is we need an ace, we need an ace, we need an ace, we need an ace. Where every team has an ace on their team, there's only like 10 true aces in all of baseball, and two of them are on the Phillies. Do you see, first off, a player that can be an ace for the Royals coming up through the minor league systems? If so, who and how far away? And part two of that is, do you see anybody that's currently in our system becoming a true ace of baseball?
Do I see anybody in the system?
Yeah.
I think the guys you have to look at as the top pitching prospects in the system are Odorizzi, Ventura, and Montgomery. And Ventura's got a long way to go. I know you guys were talking with Kevin Goldstein about him, and he was saying about how he'll throw you know, one good off-speed pitch and then five terrible ones. And, you know, that's the thing. He throws a really good fastball, you know, throws it for strikes, but that's about it. Then you got Montgomery, who obviously struggled this past year, and Odorizzi, who hit some speed bumps in Double A. I don't think any of them are aces. I do think that they're going to have good depth, though, is the rotation. They already do, actually, with Sanchez and Chen and Hoshaver and Duffy and Montgomery and Felipe Paulino, who's a guy I really like. And you've got all these guys coming up. So I think that they may not get that ace, but they may actually also be able to avoid having like that number five guy who drags the staff down. So with the offense they project to have, I think they could be in pretty good shape either way.
Well, with about a minute to go before we're going to get out of here, let's go ahead and talk to you for a little bit, or talk about you for a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what you got coming up. You got about a minute. Just give us what they should expect from you.
All right. Well, we're finishing up the top 100 in the next few weeks, and then we're going to start system-by-system recaps in January, and I'm sure you guys will be looking forward to the Royals one, where we'll be profiling the best guy at every position in the system, and then the top 10 guys beyond that, and then obviously we'll get in gear for the season.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and we'd love to have you back again before the season. We'll look into that, and until then, if Seedling to Stars starts the podcast, let us know, and we'll kick it around for you. And thank you very much to Nathaniel Stoltz of Seedlings to Stars for coming in, and we'll be right back on the other side with a little more Chiefs and Royals talk. Be right back.
Tell me if this might describe your situation. You're a Royals fan. You have been your whole life. It's been a long road, but you think the team is about to turn the corner. But then, it's the winter, and your wife starts to nag you about how much football you're watching. She says she wants to be fair. She says you need to rake the leaves. Suddenly, everything you've worked for is all on the table. The television, the DVR, the case of beer. Might I suggest to you another alternative? You need to go down and have a cold beverage at Kelly's Westport Inn. Hell, bring the wife along. If it doesn't work out, it's been named one of the top places to pick up single guys. Maybe you'll both get lucky. Whatever you do, get out of the house. Get down to Kelly's Westport Inn. The choice of a laid-back bar is an important one, and should not be made solely on podcast advertising alone. Kelly's Westport Inn and the Royal Man Report, partners you can count on.
Big Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
So our final set of Fisters are going out this week to the best and worst of Kansas City sports talk. It's been a tremendous year of radio wars between 610 and 810, and we're here to make sure we assign Fisters to where they need to go. Worst sports talk in Kansas City. My guess is that barring cancellation, this list might be the same next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. Your nominees are Fesco in the Morning with Bob Fesco. It's horrible. The undisputed, unanimous, and still your reigning worst champion is Between the Lines with Kevin Keatsman. This show makes you age the longer you listen to it. It's like taking a par, birdie, birdie, birdie drive right up your cookie diet hole. The first half hour of the show is still a live infomercial, and the personalities on it are just terrible. Best sports talk in Kansas City. Our nominees are very important because they've raised the level of sports talk in this town away from a focus on commercials and hand jobs to facts and fun. Your nominees are The Program with Seren Petro, great local knowledge and passion. The Danny Parkin Show, aside from the poor name, a great new voice to the area. What's Right with Nick Wright? I admit, I've become a fan of this odd duck. And Three Guys in a Garage, the most underappreciated show on radio. But the Fister goes to my favorite sports radio show, hell, my favorite radio show in general, The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. If you don't listen, then you're missing out on meat wallets, dick curl drops, and those awkward interviews with Gary Lezak. Well, that does it for 2011. We'll be back next year with a whole bunch more Fake Ned Minutes. Thanks for listening. Have a great holiday.
Fake Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. Oddly, not called the Fake Ned Show yet. You know, I don't
not
know how,
yet.
I don't know how we've managed to keep that from happening.
Give it time.
Well, you know, he's got rambling morons, so he's which is my fault. I mean, inviting him onto this show, created a monster. I don't know what to do with myself anymore. But it is what it is. So, actually, everybody knows it. Fake Ned, Chris, and I have become very good friends, and I appreciate the guy a lot. So we got great things coming down the pipe on both Rambling Morons and the Royal Man Report, and looking forward to a strong 2012 with the show. You know, one of the things that keeps getting kicked around is that we need to sign Hosmer to a long-term deal. Of course, it's coming up because Matt Moore of Tampa Bay recently signs a 5-year deal, $14 million extension, options up to just under $40 million through 2019. He didn't make anything when he first signed,
yeah.
And he's not a Boris client. So those are two big things right there. He's also not the player that Eric Hosmer is.
Well, I think when we're talking about aces, Matt Moore is a guy who could develop into being one of those true aces. But the thing is, when you're talking about young pitchers, there is always a greater risk than there is with position players because, you know, look at Rick Ankiel. At one point, he was the best pitching prospect in the game for 2 to 3 years. And it just takes one stretch where you lose everything. And, you know, now he's a reserve outfielder that just kind of floats around. I think the deal with Matt Moore, it's a great deal for Tampa Bay. And they've done this with Evan Longoria, and they've done it with Matt Moore. It's kind of sickening to see them do it. But he signed for $115,000 as a signing bonus, which, I mean, that's a lot of money. But in baseball terms, it's not a great amount of money. So I think what he was doing with his agent was trying to lock up some sort of guarantee up front. You know, $14 million is more than enough to set him up for life. You know, if you can't make $14 million work, then...
Albert Pujols just called. He disagrees with you.
Right. Well, he's a machine anyway, so too bad. But with those options, it does give him the upside that if he does perform like the scouts and like the Rays think he will, he's going to have a good payday, and, you know, he's going to be... you know, in 2019, he's still going to be a guy who's right around his prime and can cash in again at that point. That's a little different with Hosmer, because Hosmer was a second overall pick, or no, he was the third overall pick, my mistake, in 2008, and got a $6 million signing bonus. So he could step out of his car tomorrow, blow his knee completely out, never play again. He's fine. He's going to have money. So he doesn't really need to go for the kind of extension that Matt Moore has. Now, that being the case, you know, I do want the Royals to try to sign him to an extension, because this is a guy who he may not be in the top contenders, but right now he is an MVP candidate heading into 2012.
And you mentioned earlier, Troy, that he Matt Moore was not a Scott Boras client. That obviously is going to be a huge factor.
Yep.
But I know that Carlos Gonzalez wasn't he? Isn't he? I believe Carlos Gonzalez was a Scott Boras client. And was Evan Longoria, is he a Scott Boras client?
I'm not sure, but I know where you're going with this.
But, I mean, and so ultimately you get to the point where the agent works for them. You know, so if Eric Hosmer wants to be in Kansas City long term, I see no reason why you can't throw something out on the table. Scott Boras is going to play hardball, and he came out last year and said this is not something that they want to discuss. And I almost feel like that was a little bit more of a strong arm on their point than it was the Royals trying to discuss something and him refusing to. Worst, you got to kick the tires a little bit, I think. But I mean, there is going to be definitely a big hurdle there with him being a Scott Boras client. And, you know, who knows? Like, he has endeared himself to the fans here in Kansas City quite a bit and seems to like it. But maybe he's just, you know, playing things up to seem like a good guy. Maybe he doesn't like Kansas City. Who knows? But
The thing we've seen, and it became ever so apparent this week with the whole Albert Pujols thing, is apparently a lot of money is never enough money. I hope that he really likes it here in Kansas City. But let's be real, guys. We're in the middle of the country, in a small market,
mm-hmm.
and if you have a chance to go to Los Angeles and play for the Dodgers or Angels, or even to New York, which is the bigger city but still cold, but I mean, LA is so nice. You've got beautiful women everywhere. You've got beaches and everything, and great weather. And in Kansas City, you have, you know, some days that are so cold that you think body parts are going to fall off. So,
well, I think what the Royals have in their advantage right now is they have Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas, who pretty much came almost just about every step of the way, came up together. Johnny Giovitella, these guys mm-hmm. are all really good friends. And the only chance that they're going to have to do something great together and be, I mean, the odds of a Yankees or an Angels or somebody else going out and signing Moustakas and Hosmer and all these guys and they become free agents is extremely slim. So the Royals can present them an opportunity, especially if, say, 2015, the Royals, you know, have a deep playoff run, World Series, whatever. The Royals can give them the opportunity to stay together, compete together for a long time. Maybe mm-hmm. they leave a little money on the table, you know, but they can cement a legacy. I mean, who knows how much that really matters to them. Maybe it does all boil down to money. But as far as getting them to sign a contract, that is something the Royals can offer them that no other team can.
Well, and I was really frustrated on Twitter this week, and I sometimes come off wrong on there with people. And I like everybody that I follow on Twitter. I wouldn't follow them. I don't just follow people to follow people. Everybody I follow, I really do like and respect their opinion and what have you. But I got so tired of hearing, why isn't Dayton Moore trying to extend Hosmer? Well, what you don't know is if he is or not.
Right, and the Royals are notorious for having things locked down. They don't let leaks out unless they know it's leaking.
Unless the other team leaks it
right.
in trades.
Right. So, I mean, you never hear it come from the Royals. That's one thing that you can almost bank on, that he has them on lock. And there's an article on FoxSportsKansasCity.com that was really good where, you know, he kind of hinted that he knows what comes out of his office. And he, in knowing what, you know, it's kind of like, I know that you know that I know that you know. It's, you know, it's like poker. So, you know, I think in that regard, we don't know. Is the easy way to say it. We don't know if they're negotiating or not. We, you know, and we're not going to know.
And one thing that we do know is that we can see from the last few years and things starting to come in fruition, Dayton Moore kind of knows what he's doing at this point. So, I mean, if there is an opportunity for him, well, it seems like he knows what he's doing. So, I mean, if there's an opportunity for him to get in there and it makes sense for the ball club, then at this point, right now, December 11th, 2011, I have faith that he'll go in and make that decision. You know, 2 years ago, you asked me, maybe not. 2 years from now, maybe not. But right now, I have faith that he would go in there and make that happen.
And I do agree with that. I'm actually a Dayton Moore supporter, and anybody that's followed me on Twitter for very long knows this to be true. Yeah, there's a lot out there. And
it's also really, really early in the process. He's had 6 months, not even 6 months of major league experience. So, I mean, he's going to be worth the extension. There's no doubt in my mind. But, you know, we've got him under team control for the next 6 years. He's going to be a Super 2 guy, so his arbitration is going to come up. But, you know, I mean, even the record number of arbitration was $10 million from Ryan Howard, which is a lot. But it's very, very rare. I mean, it's not like he's going to be getting $20 million in arbitration.
And that's another thing, though. If you were to sign him to a contract, you know, even what did Matt Moore get? Five years, 6 years, was it? I can't remember.
5 years. 5 years. Million.
So if they gave him a contract tomorrow that was 5 years, you know, he's still going to be a free agent at the same time. All it really does is kind of cut out all that arbitration stuff and gives him actually more money now because it gives him arbitration money basically before arbitration. So, I mean, you know, that's probably it's a possibility, but you know who knows what the there's a whole lot more specifics than that to work out. But
and it'll be interesting. I would love to be at the table. You were talking about how they all came up together and everything. I'd love to be at the negotiating table if Dayton did something crazy like put Boris and Moustakas and Hosmer on one side of the table and said, "Okay, boys, figuring that Moustakas becomes the player we expect him to be, what does it take to keep the Kansas City Royals together? What are you two willing to do to make this happen?" And I would love to see something like that happen where we hear that there's an extension because Moose and Hosmer signed it to stay together for 10 years in Kansas City and to have statues
that would be
built to
them. Awesome.
And I've actually thought that that is something that if Royals do compete for, you know, legitimately Moustakas and Hosmer together, I thought that could be something that they would approach Dayton Moore about. We want to stay together. Here's what we need to do it. You know,
but
I
winning together, it could make a big difference. I think it's also interesting because the Royals had this kind of situation in the 70s too with George Brett and Willie Wilson and guys like that. You know, they worked out deals where they would more or less lifetime contracts of a sort. But they also, I mean, it also included weird things like, you know, they got property in Kansas City and, you know, the real estate options and you know, just weird stuff like that. I don't think they're going to, A, be able to do that just under union guidelines probably. But you never know. I mean, they can be creative. So,
well, let's talk about a guy that they do need to extend, and this one's going to come sooner than later, and that's Alex Gordon.
Yeah.
Moore has said that he's interested in talking to Gordon on a long-term deal. This has been said a lot. It's once again got brought up at the winter meetings. It showed up on Royals.com. Of course, the spin on Royals.com is going to be very Royals-friendly, but it is what it is. I have heard more than one time Gordon say things like, I do want an extension. I want to stay in Kansas City. I'm from Lincoln. The Royals were my team growing up. I want to stay here. I want to stay here. But we got to get – he kept saying – I love the way that he would word it. He would word it as, we've got to get to a place where both parties are happy. And he has said this many times, and I just cannot see any way that they don't find a middle ground and make this happen before arbitration becomes final for this year for Gordon. And now, granted, he has one good year under his belt. One.
But he also has everything up to that point. He has all the scouting that led them to draft him in 2005 as the second overall pick. You know, I think if it was somebody who was drafted in, like, the 15th round or the 20th round, if it was, say, Clint Robinson had come up early and had a year like this, they might not be that willing to talk as intensely because, you know, it's a guy who didn't really have a lot behind him coming through the system. In this case, it's Alex Gordon. He's a potential franchise guy when they drafted him. I think they'll come to an agreement because I think it's beneficial to both sides. I mean, he's 27 years old. He's, you know, maybe not going to ever outdo what he did in 2011, but
I'd
he
be
still
fine with
could.
That.
Yeah, I mean, the season that he had was great. I mean, he was one of the top 15 offensive players and overall players in the American League. So
I think the thing about this is when I look at it, and I'm completely on board with you guys, I think it will happen sooner than later. And one of the big reasons is when I look at it, I mean, it just makes sense. Like when you, it's similar to the Mike Sweeney situation, you know, when he signed, you know, years ago in the early 2000s, it was something where he wanted to be here, the Royals wanted him here. You know, it's the same deal with Alex Gordon, and it just makes sense. You know, now I think it's just finding the right time, finding the right numbers, making sure everybody's happy, and it's something that's not going to hamper the club in the future from doing things they need to do.
Well, let's just hit this next one real quick here, because it really isn't worth talking about as bad as it's gotten. But the Chiefs lose again today to the Jets.
They looked terrible.
The Packers are coming.
This might have been the worst loss of the season.
The Packers are coming.
Yeah.
The Packers put
it's going to look like Tecmo Bowl.
The Packers put up a lot on the Raiders. Granted, so did the Chiefs. But, oh, my God. The Packers at Arrowhead is going to be so green in that place for one thing. And I like Packers fans. They're usually pretty nice. But, man, oh, man, it's going to be ugly. I don't think Haley deserves to be fired. I think Pioli does. I think neither can get fired this year. There's a lot of Facebook chatter on a Chiefs group that I'm in on Facebook about that exact topic. And I think when you have as many lead players as got hurt this year, if you're going to fire anybody, you have to fire the GM for not having any sort of a backup in place for any position. And without that, you just got to do something.
Well, the disgusting part is, you know, I mean, as we all know, I'm a diehard Chiefs fan, but I'm just like, I'm apathetic at this point. There's systematic issues that need to be fixed, and they're going to say, hey, we got them fixed, because they're going to fire Todd Haley. That's not going to solve the problems. There's too much going on there to fix with just one move like that.
The Raiders come to town on Christmas Eve. Go out there, rock it. Let's beat the Raiders. I hate the Raiders. Aaron Crow interview at US Toy and the Locaine interview. Make sure you check them out if you haven't already. And Chris Candler's writing something for Kings of Kaufman.
He wrote up a little thing. I need to post it on there on top of that interview.
Alrighty.
That's all.
Well, we are out of here. I'm Casey Royal Man.
I'm Mike Engel.
And I'm Jeff Herr.
And this is the Royal Man Report. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you on the other side next week, Sunday night, 7-8 p.m. Go drink at Kelly's. It rocks. Go Royals. What you trying to be yourself for?
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
Got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.